Amen. Greet you in the precious name of Jesus this morning. My Jesus knows just what I need. You always feel that way? I confess I don't. This past week I was dealing with some flu symptoms, sickness, and some fever and stuff, and I know that Carl's family was dealing with the same thing, and it's like, is that what I need? You know? But I think sometimes when we go through things, it causes us to just assess how much we don't control things. So I thought of that song, Lord, Take Control. And maybe we'll sing that as a closing song. But God is good, and we thank Him for being so good. But I think we thank Him just for being God. It's like God is good all the time, and for us sometimes it just doesn't feel like it like He is because of our circumstances. So yeah. We're going to continue in the book of Romans. I missed out on Steve's message on Romans chapter 11. So we're going to look at chapter 12 this morning. And I'm going to look at two verses. And these are very familiar verses. And most of us could just, I beseech you therefore, brethren, mother, mistress, we could rattle it off real fast, right? But the impact of these two verses is huge. So my goal is to try to dissect it a little and see what we can get out of these two verses and apply it to our lives. And I think you have to consider this, that there is a therefore in this verse 1, and I think he's referring to all that has been mentioned from verse or chapter 1 to chapter 11. And therefore, I think that the chapters 1 to 11 probably talk about more our beliefs, the what we should believe, and then chapters 12 through 16, I think, talk more about our behavior. A little bit more like what we have in James right now. And so then, as we think of that, Paul is saying, reading verses 1 and 2 in the New King James Version, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's a very common verse. I don't know. Probably we memorized that verse as children. And I think it's also a verse that maybe has been abused in the past, especially verse 2, do not be conformed to this world. I think sometimes the concept of some of those things can be used, not saying they're all wrong, but it's like I think the primary focus is that God changes me from the inside out. And let's look at Paul's concern there. I beseech you. I urge you. And then how? By the mercies of God. And we'll look at some of those. But I'm going to read the these two verses from a J.B. Phillips translation. With eyes wide open to the mercies of God, I beg you, my brothers, as an act of intelligent worship, to give him your bodies as a living sacrifice, consecrated to him and acceptable by him. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within, so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. So Paul is appealing to our will here. He's appealing to our will. God calls us to make a choice. And I think that's what the Christian life is. Life is about choices. We choose. You chose this morning to come to church. That was the choice you made. And maybe you didn't make a choice. Maybe some of you younger ones just had to come along. But it's like every day we make choices, don't we, that affect our path. And so it's important for us to allow God to control our will. I think that's the part that by the mercies of God. What are the mercies of God? And I think he's referring, I think in this setting, we can look at the mercies of God that have been presented to us in the rest of, or the previous chapters of Romans. So we have justification from guilt and the penalty of sin. That's the mercies of God that has been extended to us. We have adoption in Jesus and identification with Christ. We've been placed under grace, not the law, giving the Holy Spirit to live within, promise to help in all affliction, assurance of standing in God's election, confidence of coming glory, confidence of no separation from the love of God, and then confidence in God's continued faithfulness. So, in light of his mercy, the past, the present, and future, Paul says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Why our bodies? Isn't there a... if you think of your bodies, I think it's all-inclusive, what he's saying here. It's not just as your... My body has defects, right? My physical body has defects. But what he's saying is present your body, your whole being to God. And that is it's a very anti-human thing for us to want to do. We want to do with our bodies what we want to do. With our whole being. We don't want to be told what to do. And then there's a lot of philosophies in today's world that you can be a Christian without presenting anything to God. You just accept Christ, and you don't need to make any kind of sacrifices. Sacrifices was a very common thing in the Old Testament, but they were usually dead sacrifices. The problem with living sacrifices is they want to call back off the altar, don't they? Isn't that how we are? Lord, I commit my life to you. And then the next, it's like, well, no, I don't want to really commit in this area. We're crawling back off the altar, as it were. And so it's a continual, as a living sacrifice, it's a continuation of the process of presenting my body to God, isn't it? It's just like a daily thing. I think Jesus said we need to die daily. And so that's part of the presenting our bodies. It's a priestly service. Spiritually speaking, our bodies are brought to God's altar. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 say this: Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and who you are not, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So it's good to see the body here as a reference to our entire being. The complete, God, you take all of me. And we sing songs like that. Fully surrendered, Lord divine, I will be true to thee. But that's a process of our whole life that we work at. But I think, again, here it's a switch from not just what I believe, but how I behave. It's what I do with what I have, what I know, what knowledge I have. One of the things we have to realize is that God wants you, not just your work. And we may do all kinds of work for God, and we think, you know what, because I think the Old Testament, in order to obtain the mercies of God, you had to sacrifice first, right? We give ourselves because of God's mercies. We offer ourselves because of God's mercies. We don't do that to receive the mercies. It works that way. As we give of ourselves, we can grasp more of God's mercies, I believe. But I think in the Old Testament, the people made sacrifices in order to receive the mercy of God. In order, if they didn't follow the plan of the proper sacrifice, I mean, the animal had to be blameless and spotless. But I think even as we look at the story of Cain and Abel, probably the biggest problem with Cain's offering was that he had a seriously bad attitude. And so that is so key. So our living sacrifice is brought to the altar alive. So, holy, acceptable God, how does that work? I mean, because I have myself, I can't make myself holy. But I am made holy through the blood of Jesus. And it's important for us to realize that as a child of God, I have been made holy by the blood of Jesus. And so any kind of impurities or whatever that I have in me, God will take care of that. And He will perfect me. But like I mentioned, in the Old Testament, an offering to God was not smelly. We think of burning an animal on a fire could kind of stink. But it was a sweet aroma to God because it was an act of obedience. And I think that's what made it such a sweet aroma. And there was a burning. And that could also have fire purifies. So as we present our bodies a living sacrifice, God makes our life holy by burning away the impurities. So the next part is a reasonable service. So it's in some ways it's like it's the only thing I can do. It's the only thing I should do because of what Jesus has done for me. All the mercies that I have received. It's only the best thing I could do. The best thing. It's like, yeah. It's the reasonable service. A life of worship according to God's word. So presenting your bodies holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That covers verse 1. Then verse 2. I've actually entitled my message this morning, Conformed or Transformed. And as we look at this next part, resisting conformity to the world and embracing the transformation that comes in Christ. How are we formed or conformed to the world? I know that we could start listing different things that make us worldly or whatever. But if we allow our lives to just to live a natural earthly life, we would be conformed to this world. It doesn't take a lot of work, does it? To think like the world, to act like the world. But when you think of conformed, you think of a mold. Something that's placed in a mold that's the shape that comes out when something's in that mold. The world in which we live in is probably pretty sick. And we could give examples. This morning I'm not going to do that. But what do you think of when you think of the world? I think that all of us have a different idea of worldliness. And a lot of that has to do with probably our culture or how we've been brought up. Well, what is the world? Anybody want to share? What's the world?
What isn't of God is of the world.
Amen. What isn't of God is of the world. And I think it's important for us to remember that. Is it of God? And John 2:16 says this: everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And so, Jesus gave an example. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life come not from the Father, but from the world. That's 1 John 2:16. And then the next part is, be not conformed. The thing about this part is there's two words that are used. It says be and do not be, and the next one says be. So to me, there's an action there. Like I play a big part in whether I'm conformed to the world or not. And then he goes on and he says, be not conformed, but be transformed. Be transformed. And that word comes from the Greek word, metamorpho. And we probably remember Wayne Schrock talking about metamorphosis. I remember a message he had on that. But when you think of the word metamorphosis, it's something that goes from being in one state, like you think of a moth, you think of a worm that goes into a cocoon, and then the cocoon goes into a beautiful butterfly or whatever. But that is the transformation, I think, that is happening or should be happening in our life as Christians. So in other words, as we mature in our Christian life, we should become more beautiful, more complete, more perfected. And so, and how's that done? It says, by the renewing of your mind. A lot of times, I think we live our life based on feelings. And how do I feel today? How do I feel about my job? How do I feel about my wife? How do I feel about the preacher? But this life by feeling will never know the transforming power of God, but it, because it ignores the renewing of the mind. Feeling is a part of our life. But it's deeper than that. There's a renewing of our mind. And I like that whole thing of renewing, because it's like it's an ongoing thing that just keeps on reproducing as it was. It's an everyday thing. It's not like, okay, so now we came to church once, or I met God once, and that's it. I'm done. It's an ongoing thing that's alive. The church is that. It's a living organism, and it's like it's got to be fed. And that's how our Christian life is. We have to keep feeding that inner self. And we also know that it's not also just of our own strength. Of course not. It has to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit living within us. Not I, but Christ in me. So, the same word of the metamorpho is also used in Mark 9, 2-3, where Jesus was transfigured. And where his clothes became bright. So Jesus, the disciples visualized a glorious transformation that took place in a small way there of Jesus being glowing. And the only other place that Paul uses this word transformed is in 2 Corinthians 3:18. And this is probably a fairly familiar verse as well. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So for Paul, this transformation and renewing of our mind takes place as we behold the face of God and spend time in his glory, from glory to glory. I think there's a couple different meanings in this glory to glory. It could be the glory of the old covenant to the glory of the new covenant. But it's, in some ways, it's like we experience little bits of glory, the glory of God, and from one glory to another, or we are being transformed. So how do we live out the will of God? It says that prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That always, I think, was a little bit more of a challenge to know what he meant there. That he may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. But I'd like for us to consider something this morning that really kind of struck me as we have the proof that is given to us. We know the direction. We know the will of God. The will of God is like exposed to us. And we're not talking so much about whether I should buy that next whatever. That type of the will of God, it can enter in. God can be in part of every part of our will. But let's consider something. I think in some ways we see a reversal from chapter 1. If you look at chapter 1, in verses 25, what did the people do? They worshipped created things rather than the Creator. And here we have chapter 12. We are a living sacrifice. We present our bodies to Christ. It's like he is our all. We present everything to him. And then in in verse 24, it's degrading our bodies. But here we are, we're offering our bodies to God. Sexual impurity in 24 as well. Offer the sacrifice that is holy. And then I think this part probably struck me about as much as anything. The difference that we have here, the benefit. In chapter 1, verse 28, it says they were given over to a depraved mind. And I think it used the word reprobate. And it's almost like a person can't even think for himself. And I thought of something that Harry Weyrich often said. He said, have you ever thanked God for a sound mind? Remember that? And it's like, that sound mind is not just totally a natural thing. If you think about, but it is our mind is affected. It's either affected or infected by the choices that we make in life. And so it affects also how we know the will of God, doesn't it? Because in some ways it's like sometimes you think, well, how do people reason? How do they get to that place? But it's like it's an act of choices that affects, and as you think of being given over to a depraved mind. And then the last one is they were filled with every kind of wickedness in verse 29 of chapter 1. But here in chapter 12, we are called not to conform any longer to the pattern of this world. And so God gives us direction. And I think that's what I appreciate so much about this scripture is that I don't know, for some reason as I was studying that, it was like a light came on. I mean, this is not stuff that's new, but it's like these things are things that just, they make sense. Why are people the way they are? Where do you find happiness? Where do you find meaning in life? It has to do with what we do with our bodies. Do we offer our life as a living sacrifice, or do I want to do my own thing and resist being transformed? We are to resist conformity to the thoughts and actions of the world. Don't be conformed, but we should not be resisting being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Focus on God's word and fellowship with Him. And I know I've said this before, is we can read the word, we can be very familiar with the word, but is it really, does it have an effect in my life? Is it making a difference in my life? Or is it something that's, you know, I'm really well versed? And it's important also to know God's will is good, it's desirable, it's acceptable or satisfying. God's will is perfect. Complete. Nothing can be added to it. Philippians 2, 5-8 says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So having the mind of Christ enters in here. Also in 1 Corinthians 2, says this, that I'll just read verse 16. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I'd like to just close. close with this. Just a few questions. Has my life been, have I offered my life to God? Am I doing that? What is my state of, am I on the altar right now, or am I crawling off and wanting to do my own thing? I think that one of the things that really hinges on this decision that we make has a huge effect on the things that happen in my life. And what I'm saying about this is that there can be bad things that happen in my life, but if my heart is right with Jesus Christ, I'm going to be much more able to face that situation than if I'm bucking what God wants to do in my life. God wants your mind, your body. He wants all of you. The question is there anything or anyone that you are withholding from God? And that's a challenge for me, is like, what am I doing? Am I giving God everything? Because it's a constant battle that I need to keep on doing. I die daily to myself. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your grace and your mercies. And it is because of your mercies that we are not consumed. But it is also because of your mercies that we can present our bodies to you as a living sacrifice. And I pray that you would help us to continue to do that in our life. No matter whatever we face in life, that you would give us grace and strength to live for you and to be that shining light that you want us to be. I pray that you would go with us even as we go from here today. Would your name be honored and glorified? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.